Oh, honestly, Governor.
Sid. Oh,
sorry, Inspector. But all this time we're spending on these charities. Well, is it worth it? I mean, if they want to go sabotaging each other's flag days, why don't we just let them get on with it?
Don't tempt me, Sid. Don't tempt me.
Well, then. It's dead boring. Shouldn't we drop it for now and start trying to trace the woman that wrote that letter saying she was going to be murdered, drowned or whatever?
No. You can check out the notepaper later, but we've absolutely no time to go chasing after naughty letter writers.
Oh, well. I could just do with a nice juicy murder.
The way these charity people carry on, it may well come to that yet. But, you know, that act of sabotage wasn't the first of its kind. There have been other attempts to embarrass and discredit a number of local charities. Now, what does that remind you of,
Dunno, Inspector.
It's not a thing we've much experience of in Flaxburgh, but in London and a number of other cities, it's a growth industry.
Forgery?
Not beyond the printing of fake flags and badges. Protection rackets, Sid.
Hey, wow, do you reckon? Here in Flax?
I don't know yet, but...
Do you mean they could be going round shooting places up? Smashing? No. We'd have heard.
I wasn't imagining big black limousines and Tommy guns. It isn't usually like that anyway. If they want money, say, from a restaurant and the owner quibbles, they don't have to smash the place up. All they have to do is doctor the food, drive the customers away.
I see.
Well, those forged KKK badges with the lewd and rather risible suggestions printed on them were designed to do just that.
Obscene, Mrs. Pelgrove called them.
And so they would be, to the sort of person who might regularly contribute to the kindly kennel club.
Ah... So, the charity that was doing the sabotaging might expect to get more dosh the next time their day came round.
Or somebody wanted the KKK to toe the line.
What line?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm pondering. Now, this Flaxburgh and Eastern Counties Charities Alliance now, we better look into that. Find out what Miss Tea Time's up to. Still, can't do any more on it today. I have to go and speak to the boys at the grammar school after tea. Better go home and change into me good suit. A careers symposium, the headmaster calls it. Got to talk to the boys on the joys of being a policeman.
Oh, if only they knew.
Maul him, Fry! Maul him! Knock him down and stamp on him! Oh, no tears, blinking sob. Fry hardly touched you. Any boy who cries will see me after. Get something to cry for. Now run with it, Fry! Run with it, man! Don't saunter! Oh, told you. Serves you right.
Hey, Master.
Afternoon, Booker.
I wondered if I could...
Is it important? Look, I've got to kick some spine into the sixth form. Too much pubescent lethargy and nicotine poisoning.
Well, it's about tonight's career symposium, Headmaster.
Yes. You know Mr. Bearn's letters down. Again?
Yes, sir. It's in connection with that, actually.
Look, play on without me for a minute. And let's see some bloodshed. Look, remember your grammar school boys and therefore superior. Don't want those oiks from the secondary modern grinding you into the mud. Well?
Well, sir, I happen to meet a most interesting gentleman, Mr. Mortimer Hive, who's visiting Flaxburgh for a few days from London.
Yeah, the metropolis, eh?
It struck me that he might be a very interesting person to speak to the boys, broaden their horizons at the symposium, I mean.
Indeed he might. What is his profession?
Well, he's retired now, and I don't think he's entirely at liberty to tell us the nature of his work in detail.
Don't follow you.
I think he might be restricted from too much frankness by the Official Secrets Act.
Good Lord. I see. Do you mean he
was... Well, he can't say as much, of course, but he was obviously in public service at a very high level. He certainly moved in the very highest circles, aristocracy, members of parliament.
He certainly sounds quite a catch, Booker. How did you meet him?
Well, as you know, Headmaster, I'm involved in certain charitable work here in the town.
Yeah, it does you great credit.
And I happened to visit the hotel where he's staying to display some literature, and we struck up a conversation.
And he agreed to participate?
Well, he showed great interest. I'm sure that if you were to ask him, he would be delighted to give the boys the benefit of his great experience. I could arrange for you to meet him, if you like.
I should be delighted, Booker. Quite fascinated, in fact. Well done.
Thank you, Headmaster.
A man like this, Mr. Mortimer Hive, with his experience in the corridors of power, is bound to impart the high ideals and admirable principles which we want our boys to possess. Kill him, Messiter! Don't hug him! Rip his ears off!
Mortimer Hive, that is the fourth cream cake you've consumed in as many minutes. You could never have gained your reputation as the finest professional correspondent in the business if you'd shown so little regard for your figure and vigour in the past.
Perfectly true, Lucy. But now that I am condemned to be the man in the raincoat behind the camera, rather than the devil-may-care athlete frolicking in front of it, I can permit myself these little indulgences.
But surely even a private detective must be lithe and light on his feet.
I am enjoying myself, Lucy. Away from the noise and bustle of London, I feel as though I am on holiday.
You mocked me when I came to settle in this out-of-the-way place, Mortimer. But this altogether charming town has been a revelation to me.
It certainly has its attractions. There's a young lady who serves in a cocktail bar of a three crown.
Then if you have designs in that direction, that must be positively your last cream cake.
but you're making out all right then, Lucy, are you?
I'm being kept nicely occupied, and that's the main thing. You can have no idea, Mortimer, of how much room there is in the charities field for a proper organisation. I confess I find the work quite exciting.
Well, it's not the sort of thing I would have thought easy to corner.
There is, unfortunately, a long tradition of rivalry between the various charities. The doggy factions are especially difficult to reconcile. But once I've convinced them of the value of my little Flaxborough and Eastern Counties Charities Alliance, and of the wastefulness of dissipated effort, they quickly see that the situation can be, what's the modern jargon? Rationalised.
How do you convince them if they don't want to come under your wing?
Oh, they soon find out that so many things can go wrong. The organisation of a flag day, for instance. It's amazing how easily the whole event can be wrecked by the tiniest accident or misunderstanding.
Do I detect some techniques of the protection racket?
Only in the nicest possible way. And it is for the benefit of our dumb companions, after all. But tell me, how goes the case?
Oh, bagatelle, Lucy. I have a photographic appointment tonight with the wife and her lover in their trysting place. Folkestone and Calais making the beast with two backs, as the bard so evocatively put it.
The Folkestone and Calais?
Code names, Lucy. Tricks of the trade. I am Hastings for the purpose of this exercise. My client is Dover, his wife is Calais, and her paramour is Folkestone.
Seems rather complicated.
Well, so it does to the uninitiated. But I promise you, it adds Guinness to the bill. Calais has ostensibly travelled to Nottingham to stay the night in a hotel to do some shopping. In truth, she'll be writhing in an ecstasy of illicit passion with Folkestone in some cottage on the outskirts of town. I have but to flick the shutter of my camera as they frolic in flagrante, and my work will be done.
Is Folkestone also married?
Very much so.
And what is his cover story, I wonder?
I am not privy to that. From his appearance, a business trip would seem the obvious lie. Lucy, if you are not going to eat that last cream cake, then I am.
Evening, Mr. Spade.
Oh, evening, Sergeant Malley.
Hey, that's a nice bit of lamb you got to open your window.
Home kill, is that? Slaughtered it myself. Well, and how's the world of crime this week, then? Keeping you busy, are they?
Well, there will be. Bodies, Jack. Bodies.
Bodies?
Dead bodies. Cold and lifeless on the slab. I'll have a quarter of that press beef, if you please. Oh, yes. Bodies. Had two this week, you see.
Two? Must be one of your feet.
Oh, there was old Miss Bassett. Knocked down gathering herbs on the level crossing.
Ah, I wonder why she not been in. I was saving her some giblets.
Ah, then there was young Percy Allum, knocked off his motorbike.
Now that was sad.
But that's only two, you see.
Only two?
The thing about bodies, you see, is they always...
Excuse me, I'm in a hurry.
Don't mind if I see to Mrs. Palgrove, do you, Bill? Mrs. Palgrove's special. All wrapped up and ready. I thought Mr. Palgrove was going to collect it.
And so he should have done. I should know better than to expect him to remember anything. All he can think about is some business trip he says he has to make.
Oh, here we are, then.
I'd like to see it, if you please. Kindly unwrap it.
Oh, of course, Mrs. Palgrove. There we are.
I don't want any of that fat. You know he can't abide fat. Kindly remove it.
Oh, well, just as you please. Take that bit off there, shall we?
And there.
Oh, yes, there now. How's that?
Oh, I suppose it'll have to do.
Let's be down to 45p now. I'll put it on your bill, shall I?
Of course.
Good night, Mrs. Palgrove. See you on Friday as usual. Miserable old sow. I tell you, if my wife had a face like that, I'd not need a hatchet for chopping firewood.
That husband of hers. What's his name? Leonard? Leonard. He must be finicking with his meat, wanting all that fat cut off it.
That's not for her husband. That's for that daft little dog of hers. Rodney, it's called. Reckon old Pally Palgrove has to eat whatever's left after that dog's done with it. Still, they reckon he gets some nice bits of flesh in other ways. Now, what was that you were saying about bodies?
Oh, two this week. Well, mark my words, where bodies are concerned, they always come in threes.
Here we are. Large brandy and water. How's that for waitress service?
Enchanted. To watch you walk across the room toward me, dear lady, is worth far more than the brandy. It is one of life's great bonuses to see such grace and voluptuousness.
Oh, things you say. You're embarrassing me now.
I tell you no lie. You draw me like a siren.
You do have a way with words.
Thank you. At what time do you finish work, my dear?
Oh, well, tonight.
Tonight, no. Tonight, I fear, I have to work for my living. Tonight, I have an assignment.
I bet you mean an assignation.
Alas, no. Definitely an assignment.
Regular man of mystery, you are, and no mistake.
Am I indeed?
I can usually tell what my customers do. I mean, there's Mr. Harrison over there, always ever so smartly turned out. Tell at a glance what he is.
Yeah, what is he, my dear?
Rat catcher.
Yeah.
But what are you, I wonder? And why have you got that big leather case with you?
In this case are the tools of my trade.
Looks like a camera.
See, there's no pulling the wool over your eyes.
You're a photographer.
Well, this is part of my work.
Are you a famous fashion photographer? In Vogue and Harper's and things like that?
Some of my clients have just taken off the very latest creations.
Well, tell me. I'm sure you'll find me very discreet.
Will I, indeed?
In every way. I'm not one to go telling the world, you know.
I may want to test your discretion.
Oh, might you now?
Mr. Hive, there you are.
Oh.
I am to meet these gentlemen. I shall return tomorrow, dear lady, and we will take up our conversation where we left off.
Mr. Hive.
Good evening, Mr. Booker.
May I introduce my headmaster, Mr. Clay?
Mr. Mortimer Hive. Delighted to meet you, Mr. Hive.
The pleasure is mine, Mr. Clay.
And this is Mr. O'Toole, the County Youth Employment Coordinator.
Now then, Cocky.
Now, what are we all having, headmaster?
A small and extremely dry sherry, Mr. Booker, if you please.
Brandy and water would touch the spot, I fancy.
Find a wallet.
Won't be a minute. A dry sherry, brandy water, pint of best filter, and a lager and lime, please.
You are from London, I gather, Mr. Hive.
From London, indeed.
A city of great opportunities.
Boundless.
Boundless. You will appreciate, Mr. Hive, that for our young people, London is a magnet. To them, it promises fulfilment. We educationalists may have a more sceptical view, and with good cause, I venture to say. But we do not flatter ourselves that we can correct the naive assumptions of youth. Only experience can do that.
Here we are.
Your blood's worth bottling, Squire.
What the headmaster's leading up to, I think.
Now, Booker, pray allow me to do my own leading. Mr. Hive will see his object soon enough. Mr. Hive, we arrange from time to time at the school what we call a careers symposium.
What a splendid idea. Cheers.
Well, I didn't touch the size, Mr. Hive. Good health.
It is attended by boys of the fifth and sixth forms, and they're able to put questions to representatives of a variety of professions whom we invite as guests. Now, may we have the pleasure of inviting
most
you to...
kind. I'd better stick to brandy and water, I think.
I see. Mr. Booker?
You go ahead, Minister.
Now, it so happens that just such a symposium has been arranged for this very evening in 25 minutes' time. The panel, I fancy that is the word, is a not undistinguished one. We've been promised the attendance of a solicitor, also an estate agent, and an inspector of police. Unfortunately, all these gentlemen follow their professions locally.
Your brandy, Mr. Hive.
Your health, my dear sir. Your very good health.
Now, if our boys were to be presented with some stimulus to their imagination in the form of a visitor from the great metropolis...
The great metropolis.
Indeed, here's to it. Oh, my glass seems to be empty.
Let me do the honour, sir. Mr. Clay?
Not just at the moment. I should esteem it a great favour, Mr. Hive, if you would come along to our little symposium and possibly say a few words to the boys on the subject of your career.
Leave me, my dear sir, to your siblings.
You're sure you don't mind?
Mind? Certainly not. I can think of absolutely nothing that would give me greater pleasure. Oh, dear.
There's something amiss.
Oh, dear. The fact is that I have just remembered that I have a most important engagement tonight. Most important.
Mr. Booker, Mr. Hive says he has an engagement. You didn't mention anything about that.
Well, I really didn't know him, Master. Anyway, perhaps it's not all that urgent, eh, Mr. Hive? Oh, here's your brandy.
The boys will be most disappointed.
Is your appointment fixed for any particular time?
Well, it's true that I have a little time in hand, but...
The school's very near.
There will, of course, be refreshments.
Cocoa. And seed cake.
You tempt me. Indeed you do. I remember something my old headmaster said to me during my last term at Harrow. Never hesitate to hand on the lamp, Hive, for it will burn all the more bright. If you do.
How true. So what do you say then, Mr. Hive?
Of course you will.
Did I drink that last brandy? Oh, dear.
I'll get you another one.
For the road, you know, for the road. The night is young, damn me. I really think I should pass on the lamp, eh? I'm a very easily persuaded fellow.
Splendid. Incidentally, I should be rather interested, purely for introductory purposes, the boys, you know, to hear what your profession actually was. I believe you're retired.
On the insistence of my doctors. Certain occupational maladies, slip disc, sciatica, things like that.
I believe that the work was... To some extent, secret.
Oh, very. Goes without saying. Discretion, absolute priority.
And I believe you moved in quite exalted
circumstances. My code forbids me to reveal.
Oh, of course, of course.
But there was frequently a coronet above the bed.
Good Lord.
Except when I was working abroad, of course.
I see. You mean your work took you abroad a great deal?
I seldom slept in my own bed.
Fancy that.
I should be surprised if in so long a period you've not received some tokens of official recognition of your...
Various little trophies have come my way, you know. Oh, I say, this is for me. Cheers.
There we are, Den Rodney. Who's mummy's ickle cheeky boy, Den?
Right. I'm off then.
To Leicester.
That's right.
And you expect me to believe that?
Well, now, what's that supposed to mean?
I don't suppose you fed the goldfish.
Of course I haven't fed the damn goldfish. You won't even catch me going out there. What do you want to keep the goldfish in that damn silly well for? And all those gnomes, it's like a fairy bloody grotto out there.
You're always bad-tempered and uncouth when you've something to hide.
Something to hide? What could I possibly have to hide?
I don't know her name, and I really don't want to.
Her name? Whose name?
Whoever it is you're indulging your disgusting habits with tonight.
Oh, don't be some bloody stupid woman.
How dare you call me woman?
What else can I call you, you dirty-minded, gossip-mongering woman? I have a mind.
Don't you threaten me. Don't you dare raise your hand to me.
I'll do as I damn well please in my own house.
Very well, boys, settle down, please. Now, Mr. Hideaway, the estate agent, Mr. Scorp, the solicitor, and Inspector Purbright of the Borough Constabulary have all done us the honour of making previous visits to us, and I hope you've thought of some intelligent and interesting questions for them. But first, I should like to introduce to you boys a very special, I might almost say, mystery guest. He is the gentleman you see sitting next to our ever-helpful friend from the Ministry of Labour, Mr. O'Toole. I refer to Mr. Mortimer Hive. You must come and entertain me with your bee impersonation tomorrow morning, Fry, straight after assembly. Mr. Hive is from London.
Big deal.
And when I say he is from London, I do not think I betray any interests of our national security by telling you that his work, from which he has now retired, was of a highly significant and confidential nature. I am right, am I not, Mr. Hive?
Ah, yea, verily, yea, verily.
Yes.
I shall ask Mr. Hive to address us in a moment. But first, a few questions for our local experts. Now, you may ask these gentlemen anything you like, provided, I say, that the question is relevant to the matter of employment. Now, what I do not want to hear, and I can assure you that Mr. Booker will not want to hear them either, are questions of a fatuous nor a provocative nature. You know what I mean, and Mr. Booker knows what I mean. Very well, then. First boy.
Please, sir, could the inspector tell us what his job is worth? Salary, I mean, sir, and perks.
Ah, well, of course, you have to remember that to begin with...
No, darlings, I do not think we should frame our questions in such a personal, directly personal form. If, as you very reasonably might, you wish to learn the scale of emoluments in the police force, I feel sure that our good friend Mr. O'Toole will be pleased to provide you with the appropriate literature.
Chapter and verse, Cocky.
Next question.
Please, sir, do you think the gentleman from London could tell us something about employment prospects in his own line of business? Whatever that is, sir.
Thank you, Fry. Mr. Hive. Mr. Hive.
Hey, sailor, you're wanted on deck.
What's the matter, dear lady? And you too, sir, no need to dress. Excellent. No embarrassment, I beg it. I hope we're not... Good Lord. Where did all these boys come from?
Soldier, as a new...
Boys. Bundles of boys. My God, it isn't a choir, is it?
All right, Cocky, you can do it. School. Speeches. Use your guff. You. Now.
Oh, well, thank you, my good sir. You're an officer and a gentleman. Say no more. Boys? No. Gentlemen. When your headmaster here...
That's the inspector.
...was kind enough to ask me to come along and present your prizes today, do you know what I said to him? The very first thing I said? You don't? No? Well, never mind. You see, in the great game of, now then, now, there's just one thing that I want to, all-important thing, winning, you see, not the main thing. Prizes, you see, some people don't want them. People with prizes didn't want them in a game of life, see, they sent for me. Hive, they said. Important people, man. Oh, very important. Rub shoulders with aristocracy. Not just shoulders either. No, never mind that either. I do mind that, though. And that was it. Token. Appreciation to show. I'm beautiful memories. Have you ever seen a birthmark? Exact shape of Statue of Liberty. Torch and all? No? All right. I have. In the game of life. On Lady Felicity Hoop's left buttock. No, as it were. Right buttock. Yes. Lovely woman. Dead now. Tragic. In the midst of life, you know. Well, as the man said...
And that concludes our little symposium for tonight. Thank you, boys. Will you file out quickly and quietly, please? For heaven's sake, Booker, get him off the premises. And I shall want to see you about this tomorrow.
Yes, headmaster. It's heavy.
Let me help. Leave him to me, gents. Used to it. One of the fraternity. Some of my best friends, etc. I'll get him out of the way for you.
Birds of a feather.
Come on, Cocky. Up you come.
We're going on somewhere, are we?
Lean on me.
Where's my camera? Hey, you. What have you done with my camera?
What?
Camera, the camera. I need it, you see, most important. For important assignment.
It was Cameron.
What is it now?
He says he's lost his camera.
I saw no camera. He was carrying a sort of suitcase thing when we were in the hotel.
Well, he hasn't got it now.
Well, I can't help that. He must be got out of the school. I rely on you to see to it. A little refreshment before you leave, Inspector.
Oh, thank you.
By the way, Mr. Yes. Scorp. Wonderful. Mrs. Wilson's excellent concoction is doubtless awaited in the common room.
You must have left it in the pub.
Pub?
3 crowns just round the corner. I'll show you.
The pub. I have discovered, my dear sir, in the game of life, that all problems can be resolved, all losses made good, if one can only find the right pub.
It's no use. I can't find it. It's definitely not in the cocktail bar. I've searched the lounge. I'm not going in the public this time of night, but he wouldn't have been in there anyway. What's he doing now?
Trying to get his car started.
Mr. Hive, you can't go driving tonight.
Car won't start.
Let's get the bonnet up, have a look.
To be there.
Where?
Well, lips of serial confidentiality and discretion guaranteed. 24-hour service. Must get there tonight.
Somebody's nicked your distributor.
Is that bad?
You could say that.
I must be there.
Well, Squire, this was deliberate. Wherever it is you were going, somebody doesn't want you to get there.
I shall not defeat Hive. I've never fallen down on a case.
Steady.
Very well, then. I shall walk.
Where are you going?
Forward. Into the Valley of Death and so forth. Forward. Onward, Hive. Onward. Duty calls.
Right, madam. Now, don't you upset yourself any more. I'll get some men over there straight away. Constable.
Morning, Sergeant Mully. Lovely day.
Never mind that now. Has Inspector Purbright come in yet?
Dunno, Sarge.
I'll go and look in his office. You get a couple of the lads and get off to this address straight away.
What is it, Sarge?
Unless I'm very much mistaken. Body number 3 has just turned up.